We believe that Kirkland Life Church will exist to make healthy people in a healthy church. Last week we began discussion about that and what it means to be a healthy person. That God has a plan for your life, as we read in John 10:10, for you to have life and life abundantly. That God has something more for you than you're presently experiencing. Now, if you're in a bad way right now, that's really encouraging news. But here's the incredible part. If you're in a good way this morning, that's really incredible news, because God wants to do exceeding and abundantly more than you could ask or think. Now, don't freak out. Don't run for the doors. This is not some prosperity gospel. That's not how it works. God has life for us. He has strength for us. He has health for us. That doesn't mean that we're all going to be driving Lexuses and have big houses. That's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is for healthy people. And to be healthy, not just in our spirits, but in our bodies. And this morning, I want to talk to you about being healthy in your minds. Kirkland Life Church desires to develop healthy people in mind, body, and spirit, and longs to renew a healthy reputation of the local church in fulfillment of the command to love God and love people. You see, we talk about this often, and almost since day one when we got here, God gave us this understanding in the Word of God that we just held on to, that God's desire for humanity is for us to love Him. But if that's all we do, we're only halfway through. Because He called us to love Him, but also to love people. Jill was alluding to it this morning. But I think as it relates to us loving God and loving people, so many times in the church we focus solely on the spirit part of who you are. How many of you know you're more than just spirit? Some of us know it a little bit more than others. As I look in the mirror, I know I'm more than just spirit, sometimes a lot more. But as we go through the Word of God, we read, beginning in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, we're told to love your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." In Luke chapter 10, verse 27, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 through 24, it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it." What do these verses tell us? It tells us that we are complex creations. These verses tell us in a multitude of different ways that there are different parts of who we are. And so for the sake of continuity this morning, I want to just really focus in on this idea that we are created mind, body, and spirit. And as we move forward with our understanding of what it means to be a healthy person, we want you to recognize that you need to be healthy in your mind just as much as you are healthy in your spirit. And you need to be healthy in your body just as much as you are healthy in your mind. You see, because I can have a healthy spirit and my relationship with the Lord can be tight and we can be good and everything's great, but if my body is weak because I'm not taking care of it, I'm less effective than I would be if I was complete. And if my spirit's good and my body's in good shape, but my mind's a complete nut, I'm less effective. I'm not as free as I should be in the Lord. And if my mind is good and my body's good, but my spirit's garbage, then what's the point of it anyway? All of these verses that we read this morning tell us one thing, that God is concerned with all of you. Not like all of you individually, but just individually, all of you as that one person, as that individual. He is concerned with every facet of your life. Not just your spirit. God is concerned with your mind. There's been a lot of debate by theologians where the divide of where we should be, of who we are, where it should be made. And in the end, it's very simple.
It doesn't really matter.
What does matter is that according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, that God wants to sanctify us. That word sanctify means set apart. He wants to make you different than everybody else. He wants to sanctify you. He wants to set you apart that you would be kept blameless until the coming of Jesus Christ. He desires us to have life and to have it more abundantly. And so as I was reading and preparing for this message, I came across a phrase, and so I did not originate it, but I love it, and you'll forget that I said that, and you'll just think that I said it, and it'll be great. Let's just go with that. We are spirit, we have a mind, and we live in a body. We are spirit, we have a mind, and we live in a body. That's what makes you, you. If you remove any one of those things, we have a problem. You are, as a human being, created in the image of your Creator. What do we know about God? Three in one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if we're created in His image, isn't it kind of interesting to recognize that we are created mind, body, and spirit in the image of our Creator? Human beings are made up of physical material. There's parts of us that we can touch, that we can feel, that we can smell. There is a part of our being that interacts with the world around us. That's the physical part of who we are. But we're also made up of immaterial aspects. Has anybody ever seen their soul? Has anybody ever seen their thoughts? If we did, we'd probably just close the door. God made us with material and immaterial aspects. There are parts of who we are that are intangible. And this, as we read through Scripture, would include our spirit, it would include our heart, our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions, all of which are talked about in Scripture in one facet or another. The immaterial parts of who we are, our spirit, that part that belongs to the Lord. But then there's another aspect of who we are. And to simplify it, I'm going to simply divide it that the internal, immaterial part of who we are, I'll be referring to it as our mind. Now, as we look at our minds, we recognize that it's complex and we recognize that it's made up of a lot of different parts. When we read in Scripture, we recognize that our mind is made up of our thoughts, it's made up of our feelings, it's made up of our emotions, it's made up of our intentions, it's made up of our will. The subconscious mind is where we hold our deep beliefs and our attitudes. It's where we have our feeling, our emotions, and retain our memories. Our will is what gives us the ability to make choices. Our mind is what gives us our personality, and it is through our mind that we live out our relationship with God and with other people. But it's also how we live out our lives with ourselves. You see, the Bible again and again puts forward this concept, it puts forward this idea that God is concerned with your mind. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, it says, set your minds. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Let's camp there for just a second. What this verse is telling us is that the mind aspect of who we are can be focused. What this is telling us is that I can set my mind on certain areas of life. And what Romans 8 is saying is basically there's two options. There's God's way and then every other way. There's God's way of doing things as He created us, as He longs for us to have, to set our minds on things that are above, to set our minds on things that are life-giving, that are loving, that are good, that are pure, that are righteous, that are noble. And then there's everything else. It says that we set our minds on the things of the flesh. You know that there's some good aspects to your flesh? Don't run me out just yet. There are parts of who we are that are good. They're not inherently evil. My flesh enjoys good food. There's nothing inherently evil about a juicy steak. There's nothing inherently evil with wanting to put a little bit of spices into your food to enjoy it. But that appeals to my flesh, doesn't it? It's not inherently evil. The problem is when it comes to matters of the flesh, the good part of my flesh and the bad part of my flesh, it all needs to be redeemed. Because any part of who I am that comes before God is an idol. Any part of who I am that comes before God, I've put things out of priority. And I've made a hierarchy within who I am that's not right. It's like building a pyramid upside down. I'm going to fall because I've got my priorities out of whack. And so even the inherently good things in life, if they're not in submission to the Word of God, if they're not in submission to the will of God, even good things can be bad. Your family is not inherently evil. Well, maybe some. But there is nothing inherently evil about your family. God gifted you your family. He wants you to live in relationship with people. But if you put those relationships before the Lord, where is your mindset? It's not on God, it's on something else. And what Romans 8 is telling us is that mindset is of the flesh. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. What we need to do, church, is we need to set our minds on the things of the Lord. Or do we not believe Scripture? When it says, set your minds on the Lord, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then everything else will be added to you. It's not saying that everything else is evil. It's saying that everything else, if it comes before the Lord, then it's wrong. But we need to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek His righteousness. Seek how to live our lives in a way that brings glory and honor to God. And that includes in our minds. Because when we set our minds on things of this world, set our minds on the things of the flesh, you know what happens? We're insane people. You see, when I set my heart to chase after the things of the flesh, then I am left longing for something that will never fulfill me because it's not what I was created for. If I'm chasing after fame, if I'm chasing after money, if I'm chasing after popularity, if I'm chasing after relationships to try to fill that void in my heart, I've set my mind on the flesh and I'm going to constantly be in a state where I am against what God wants for my life. But if I'm able to take all of those things and lay them aside and say, God, you are the author and the perfecter of my faith, I'm going to set my mind on you, then God will bring those healthy relationships. He'll bring you the things that you need. He will align your life in such a way that it brings glory and honor to him. But we have to make the conscious choice to set our minds on the things of the Lord. When we're focused on the flesh, it affects so many aspects of our lives. It affects our hearts. It affects our emotions. It affects our choices. It affects our thoughts. It affects our self-image. You see, the Bible kind of knew what it was talking about when it said, don't focus on the things of the world. Focus on things that are above. Focus on the things that are right. Focus on the things that God instituted from the foundations of the world and said, this is your purpose. This is why you're here. To love me with all of your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your will, with all your emotions, with all of your body. Love God with all of it. That doesn't mean that you're going to have everything that you want. But when he gives you everything that you need, you don't care what you don't have. You don't care what you do have. If I've set my heart and my mind, my will and my emotions on the Lord and on things above, and he does this crazy thing where he actually pours out his spirit on us and gives me the desire of my heart, which is him, then everything else begins to fall into place. But we have to. We must. It is imperative for us to focus on where our minds are set. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. Or in other translations, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Or in even other translations, it says, don't be conformed to the mindset that the world has. Don't think like the world. Don't conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, when you're reading in Scripture, anytime you come across a therefore, you have to go back and read the rest of what is written there to know what it's there for. See what I did there? And so he says, I appeal to you, therefore, by the mercies of God. We're in Romans chapter 12. If you haven't had the opportunity to do so, you need to go back and you need to read Romans 1 through 11 because there's some incredible stuff in there. Justification from the guilt and the penalty of sin, adoption in Jesus and identification with Christ, placed under grace and not law, hallelujah, giving the Holy Spirit to live within us, the promise of help in all affliction, assurance of a standing in God's election, confidence of coming glory, confidence of no separation from the love of God, confidence in God's continued faithfulness. This is everything that Romans was talking about in 1 through 11, and he says, therefore, in light of all of this, therefore, in view of the mercies of God, all of those things that Paul relates to the Roman church, he says, in view of all of this, because God has done all of these incredible things, offer your lives as a living sacrifice.
Yeah, what does that mean? Don't worry, there are no knives in here today, right? I hope not. We're not going to sacrifice anybody. That's weird. But it says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. What rights does a sacrifice have? It doesn't. What it's saying is we need to lay down our lives willingly. Say, God, not my will, but yours be done. God, I'm going to willingly lay my wants, my desires, my thought patterns, my thought processes, my mind, my spirit, my body. I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to say, God, not my will, but yours be done. You see, there is an imperative word in there, and it's a living sacrifice. We're not talking zombies and undead. That's over. We're in November now. We don't have to worry about that stuff. And on that note, can we respect the turkey? Can we just hold off a minute? We need to be a people that is willing to give thanks before we say, gimme, 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 gimme. Let's be grateful for a little bit. Can we respect the turkey? I'm going to get a t-shirt made. Respect the turkey. If you put your Christmas tree up already, that's fine. God will forgive you. I might not, but God will. And now people are trying to get all like hyper scientific now, and they're like, oh, well, I read this study, and it says that people that set up their Christmas trees early, they live longer. Like, whatever. Respect the turkey. I completely lost my train of thought. I start thinking about turkey and I get all excited. He's called us to be a living sacrifice. To lay ourselves down and say, God, not my will, but yours be done. But we have to continue to live. We have to continue to go into the highways and byways of life and to bring a healthy mind and to bring a healthy body and to bring a healthy spirit into the world and say, hey, look what God can do with a messed up nobody like me. And if he can do it for me, why can't he do it for you? God wants us to be living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. It's our spiritual act of worship. That's what worship is. It's bringing glory and honor to God. It's more than just singing. Our acts of worship are living as unto the Lord, with our minds set on Him. The patterns of this world, I mean, just watch the news for 15 minutes if you can stomach it. That's the pattern of this world. Spend 5 minutes on Facebook and you can see the pattern of this world with those that have their mind set on the flesh, with those that have their mind set on their own desires, their own wants, their own unhealth. And God says, don't focus on those things. Don't conform to that. You're held to a higher standard. That is not what God wants for us, church. God wants us to live above that, beyond that, a healthy life where we're not running the rat race comparing ourselves to anybody that's got an Instagram account, to some fabricated reality because they were able to put a filter on a picture and make them look like something that they're not, to glamorize it and say that that's what we should be chasing after. That doesn't exist. The reality of God's love and God's way in the world is to not conform to that pattern, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. Isn't that the chief end of what we're supposed to be doing? Jesus Christ modeled it. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, the pattern of this world is to do this. I don't want to do this. God, if there's any way for you to take this cup from me, please do it. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus set the example for us, and he said, don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be conformed into the will of God. Follow after what he wants. This warns us that the world system, the popular culture and manner of thinking, is in rebellion to God. The world will try to conform us to its ungodly pattern, and that process must be resisted.
But to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, it's the opposite of being conformed to this world. It's a change. It's a transformation. It's not just taking the nasty and just trying to lump it and making it look. It's a complete transformation. It changes its essence from one thing to another. It's transformed. Your mind can, should, must, will be transformed. The battleground between conforming to the world and being transformed is within the mind of the believer, because it is how we live out our relationships. I must take my spirit that has been regenerated by the power of the cross, and I need to filter it through my mind in order to live out that relationship. Because if my mind isn't right, even though I have this understanding of the Word of God, I have this understanding of my relationship with the Lord, if my mind is shot, if my mind is twisted, if my mind is distorted, then I can't truly receive the love of God. Because my mindset is after a pattern that says, you're not good enough. The world gets us to believe that we need to achieve and we need to obtain and we need to have and we need to be in a place where this is the American dream. And if you have anything less than that, then you're somehow less than. But that's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is whosoever. God loved the world. God loved you so much that he was ready and willing and able to move heaven and earth to restore a relationship with you. And when we set our minds on the Lord, it begins to transform the way that we think about ourselves. It begins to transform the way that we think about other people and how we relate to other people, because that all gets filtered through our minds. Our emotions are affected in that transaction. Our will is affected in that transaction with other people. And church, it's also affected in our relationship with God. God in his word makes it abundantly clear that you're loved, but sometimes the damages and the abuses of our past affect our minds in such a way that we can't receive it. And that relationship that is meant to be life-giving, it paralyzes us. There's no way that God could love me, because that's all I've heard my entire life, that I'm unlovable, that I'm stupid, that I'm worthless. And God wants to say, I want to take that part of your mind and I want to transform it. Not to the patterns of this world, but I want to give you a new mind. I want to transform it into something that brings glory and honor to me. I want you to be able to understand and to receive the love that I want to give you, so that you can take it and you can filter it through your mind and live it out in the world. God has more for us than the patterns of this world can even begin to hope. So what does a healthy mind look like? There's a super imperfect analogy, but it's the best I could come up with. But our minds are like a computer. You get the case that houses everything, and that's your body. And we begin to put all of the programming and all of the hardware together and the circuits and all of the different parts of the computer that work together are able to run the programs within that computer. And sometimes things get corrupted and things aren't working as they're supposed to, and we have to begin to replace some parts, or we have to run diagnostics and try to defrag. I don't know what that means, but it does some little colory thing that looks really nice. But we have to rewrite the program. We have to rework the computer. We have to change the settings in the AI, artificial intelligence. Some of us excel in that more than others. Artificial intelligence, yeah. You'll get it later. But what we need to do in our minds is we need to begin to rewrite the pathways. We need to begin to rewrite the programming in our mind that began the day that we were born. And whether by nature or by nurture, our patterns of thinking have been changed and molded and sculpted into who you are today. And what God says is, you don't have to be victim to them.
I can transform them, and you can begin to think as you ought. This is not just positive thinking. This is not some Oprah special that we're going to just tell you, just think positively. There is an aspect to thinking positively, but it's not what this world is trying to throw down people's throats. A healthy mind is healthy in its love for God, healthy in its love for others, and healthy in its love for ourselves. When our minds are healthy and we begin to change those pathways within our thinking, our minds must be informed by who He is. In order for us to have a healthy love of God processed through our minds, we need the right information. And where's that found? It's in the Bible. It's not complete in our understanding of God, but it's the best that we have. If we were to write down every aspect of who God is and try to understand Him the best way possible, the books would literally be infinite. But the glimpse that we have into the character, into the person of our God, it's found in the Word of God. It tells us about His love. It tells us about His mercy. It tells us about His compassion. It tells us about His wrath. It tells us about His judgment. It tells us about every aspect of who He is. So we have to know that, church. We have to get in the book to begin to learn who this God is that has called us into relationship with Him. It involves reading the Word of God, studying to show ourselves approved, to begin to fill our database, to begin to fill our hard drives with information about the Lord. But it can't stop there. It's got to begin to filter into the other parts of our lives. We need to think about things that are right, that are true, that are noble, that are honorable, that are good, that are pleasing. We need to begin to think about the things of the Lord. We need to dwell on God, on His plan and His purpose for our lives, and not be consumed by the patterns of this world. To dwell on the things of God, to set our minds on things above, to set our minds on the Spirit, not the flesh. As we begin to rewrite that part of our thinking, as we begin to rewrite that part of our minds, we begin to gain a better depiction of what it means to love God. We don't just have to try harder. It's not about the things that we do. It's about a life transformed for the Lord. It's about a life that lives on purpose and for a purpose for God. And when we do that, it begins to change how we love other people. So a healthy mind, it changes our relationships with other people. How we think, how we feel, how we relate to others. Notice that that battle begins in your mind long before you ever set foot in the same room with a person or begin a conversation. We all enter into relationships with other people with preconceived notions. We all enter into relationships with other people with thought patterns and processes in our mind that are going to get us to react in ways that are unhealthy. And God says, don't be conformed to that. Rewrite the program, rewrite the wiring, rewrite the pathways, and to think about others in a different way, considering others more than ourselves, to look out not just for our interests, but for the interests of others, to love our neighbor as ourself, to read stories like the parable of the Good Samaritan and what it means to look beyond ourselves and to live for other people in mind. As we begin to shift that mindset, it affects our love for others. A healthy mind with a mind pattern set on the Lord, it affects our love for ourselves. Now, this isn't a prideful, arrogant kind of love. This isn't somebody that's so full of themselves that they just think they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. What's been the greatest thing since sliced bread? Healthy in our love for ourselves, it changes how we take care of ourselves. self-care, taking a mental health day, getting a mental image of who we are as filtered through the cross and filtered through the Word of God and not filtered through an abusive parent's words. Having a self-image of who we are, how God sees us, not how society would label us. To have a biblical self-image, to begin to untangle the knots and the thoughts and the emotions that have been a mess in our minds. God says, I want to take that knot, and it, I don't know what it is, but Nan has a way of being able to take, like, just, you can give her like a ball of jewelry. They help, and she's like, oh, look at that, there's your necklace. I don't know how it happens. I got like sausage fingers. I don't know how to do that. But there are some people that are more equipped at untangling the knot than others. And when it comes to your minds, it's no different, church. There are people that are able to help you untangle the knots of your mind. I grew up in a day and an age in church where the answer was just throw some more prayer at it. I am not denigrating the power of prayer. I believe in it. I believe that God can do more in one instant at the altars that a counselor could never do in a million years. I understand and I believe and have experienced the power of God in my life for Him to instantaneously transform who I am. But I also understand that God has brought people into my life that are able to begin helping me unravel the knots of my life. And that there are counselors and there are psychologists that are Christian-based, where once that was a taboo thing in the church, but now we recognize how important it is. You have to take care of yourself, church. It is not a sin. It is not wrong for you to get help. In fact, it's imperative. Or as we talked about last week, we go around and we just ooze all over people. We have to be healthy. We need to bind up the wounds of our hearts. We need to bind up the wounds of our minds so that we can effectively relate to the world that God has called us to. Because remember, half of what He has called you to do is to relate with people. Love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And just as important, equal to it, love your neighbor as yourself. In order for us to do that, we have to love ourselves. We have to be able to understand what that means, what that looks like in a healthy biblical model. And there are people that are able to help you get there. Yes, we continue to pray. Yes, we continue to believe God for a miracle. But sometimes the miracle is that God was able to give us doctors and counselors and the intellect to be able to understand ourselves in a way that we never did before. It doesn't have to be either or. It's both and. We need to begin to have a healthy view of ourselves. Having a healthy mind means being healthy in our love for God, healthy in our love for others, and healthy in our love for ourselves. Romans 12 tells us that we accomplish this by changing the way that we think. Recognizing our feelings and emotions can be redeemed. Realizing that our thoughts matter. It's not self-help, it's biblical. We need to learn what it means to hit the reset button, to shut the computer off and let everything just kind of settle for a minute before we turn it back on. The Bible likes to call it Sabbath. We need to learn how to do that, how to take a time to rest. It doesn't have to be on Sundays. Maybe your Sabbath is on a Monday because of your work schedule or because of your family life. But to take time to hit the reset button to rest and to allow the Spirit of God to begin untangling those knots in our minds. This conversation that we're having this morning is not all-inclusive. We are so complex, and there's so many different parts and so many different areas of our minds, our heart, our will, our emotions, our choices. But it's a beginning. And as we move forward, we're not going to just focus on your spirit. We want to focus on your mind because we want you to be healthy in every area of your life. Romans 12, 1 through 2, in light of his mercies, in view of all that God has done, as we remember everything that God has made available to us in his word, we lay down our preferences and our presumed rights. We don't follow the worldly patterns, and we recognize that God can and wants to change our mind. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, we thank you that you are more concerned with who we are than what we can do for you. God, you are more concerned with helping us be healthy in our minds, God, so that we can relate to you better, that we can come into our relationship with you not with a preconceived notion that is broken, that is flawed, that is failing, but that, God, we can see you for who you are. That, God, you would be able to rewrite the pathways in our minds so that as we relate to other people, God, we can do it in a healthy way. As you've shown us, as you've patterned in your word. Father, I pray for those of us this morning. God, we need help. This world is a cruel place. And as a result, many of us have misguided, broken, tainted views of ourselves, of other people, of our society, of family. God, help us. God, transform our minds. God, we ask that you would begin to do a work that only you can do. God, if you so see it, if you are able to use doctors, if you're able to use counselors to help us begin to unravel the knots of our minds, God, we ask that you would bring into our lives, God, godly people that want the same things that we do, that we want to glorify you. Father, help us to live our lives and to think thoughts that are good, to set our minds on you as the author and the perfecter of our faith. God, for us to set our minds on the Spirit. God, that we would present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to you. Lord, that you would help us not to conform to the patterns of this world, but that we would be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Father, we love you and we praise you. We commit all of these things into your hands, and we ask that as we move forward, God, that you would go with us. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen and amen.